Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Saving Christianity, The Danger in Undermining Our Faith, and What You Can Do About It, by Michael Youssef. Narrated by David Cochran Heath. Introduction. Does Christianity need to be saved? A friend, let's call him Jack, recently told me a story that broke my heart. I'm sure it breaks the heart of Jesus as well. My wife found Christ and was baptized in a non-denominational community church, Jack told me. She grew up there, and she and I were married in that church by the pastor who founded it. The pastor was a godly man who preached the gospel. He taught the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation as the inspired Word of God. I remember sitting in his office with my bride-to-be for our premarital counseling. The most important thing he wanted to know about me was this: was Jesus my Lord and Savior? Was I a genuine, Bible-believing Christian? Would the Bible have absolute authority over my conduct as a husband and as a Christian? Years went by, and that godly minister passed away. The church board called a new minister. When the new pastor arrived, he said all the right things and professed to be an evangelical Christian, but over time his message changed. He told the congregation he was evolving in his faith. He stopped calling the Bible the Word of God and began calling it the book about God, or the book that contains God's message. If you asked him whether the Bible is inspired by God, he'd say, "Parts of the Bible are so relevant and life-changing that you'd have to call them inspired by God." If you asked him whether people needed a Savior, he'd tell you, "Some people need God, others don't. God isn't offended by those who don't need Him." He once called himself an agnostic who loves Jesus. Obviously, this man was not an evangelical Christian. He didn't preach the gospel of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the gospel on which the church was founded. As it became clear that this pastor had fallen away from orthodox biblical faith, some board members tried to oppose him, but others supported him. Hundreds of people who had faithfully attended and supported the church began leaving in disillusionment. Over a few years, the church dwindled from a membership of around 900 to less than 100. With so few donors, the congregation could no longer afford to maintain the buildings of that once-thriving church. The pastor and the board sold the church site to a secular business. Today, the tiny congregation still exists under its original name, but without a permanent location. The people meet in various places wherever they can find a meeting place. Sometimes they meet in a city park or in a senior living center. Of course, there's nothing wrong with the church holding services out in the community, especially as a form of evangelistic outreach. But that's not what this church is doing. It was forced to sell off the physical legacy of its evangelical past because it no longer preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. The original name of that church still exists as words on a website, but the church where my wife and I were married is dead. I looked at the website recently, and it's filled with cliches and slogans. We are a progressive Christian community. Love wins. There's more faith in searching than in certainty, in questions than in answers. We're about having a conversation, not indoctrination. This idea they call progressive Christianity has already killed one church. Like a cancer, it's metastasizing and trying to kill all of Orthodox evangelical Christianity. The people in the church where my wife and I were married didn't see it coming. They were blindsided. People need to be warned. They need to know how dangerous these ideas are. The threat from the inside. We live in times of spiritual and moral confusion. So-called progressive Christianity is infiltrating and seducing the evangelical church, and it is killing the church while claiming it is saving Christianity. A few years ago, the cover of Newsweek's Easter issue blared in red letters, "The Decline and Fall of Christian America." In 2015, the Daily Beast website asked, "Does Christianity have a future?" As our culture wobbles wildly on its spiritual axis, many are asking whether Christianity can survive in the 21st century. Some are asking whether we need to reinvent Christianity in order to save it. My friend, I have written this book to declare to you that people need saving. Our society needs saving. Our nation needs...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?